Well, before I begin, let me really encourage you to get involved in Thy Kingdom Come this week. Make sure you sign up to the 24 hours of prayer if you can. We don't expect you to pray for 24 hours solid. We're dividing it into 24 chunks of an hour each. Do sign up. The sign up sheet is going to be, where's Alison? I thought you said, should we put the sign up sheet on there? It's on there. Do sign up and do have a look at the list of events. Where is the list of events, Mark? Have we got it somewhere in the new sheet? So it's all in the new sheet, and see what you can come to. And let's get behind this as a church. Let's plead with God to save people, for God's kingdom to come into people's lives and change them. Well, we're thinking about what it means to love one another. Boys and girls, I haven't done a sheet for you because I've got some things to show you and some questions to ask you. Okay? Now, when we say we have to love one another, what does that mean? Well, it means a lot of things, but a huge part of loving each other is how we speak to each other, how we talk to each other, what we say. So we're going to think about the words we use, as we've heard in the reading from James, because the words we use with one another have a massive effect on each other. Boys and girls, we can make people feel really happy by what we say to them, but we can also make people feel really sad. So our words are powerful, very powerful, and therefore James chapter 3, verses 3 to 8 contains a warning. He's warning us about our words, what we say, how we say it, how we talk to each other. I wonder, have you ever been warned about something but ignored the warning? I have. It was when I was on holiday in France, when I was about 10 or 11 years old, and my family went to one of these. It's called a luge. It's this kind of half pipe made of metal that snakes down the mountain, and you sit on this sort of trolley thing, and you can see they're holding these levers, and you push it forward to release the brake and pull it back to put the brake on. Now, all the way down the mountain, there was these massive signs in French, German, and English saying, warning, danger, brake around the corner, or apply brakes in the corners. If not, you know, huge danger. And I thought to myself, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to ignore that warning because I want to go fast down the mountain. So I rammed this little lever forward and thought to myself, I'm going to enjoy the ride. Now, as I got further and further down the mountain, speed gathered and I got faster and faster and went around this particularly steep corner and flipped it and slid down and took all the skin off my elbows and all the skin off my knees, and it was very, very painful indeed. If we ignore warnings, we're highly likely to damage ourselves, aren't we? And maybe to damage other people. And there's this warning in James chapter 2. It's a warning about our tongue, okay? Because we use our tongue to speak, don't we? We use our tongue to make words, and our words affect each other. So we must listen to James's warning. It's just full of warnings, because he knows how powerful the tongue is. He knows how badly it can affect each other, or such a good effect it can have on one another. So let's look at these warnings. So first of all, James says to us, the tongue is small but powerful. That's his first warning, okay? Although it's a small part of the body, it makes great boasts. And he gives three examples of things which are small but powerful to help us understand that the tongue is like that. So he talks about bits, he talks about a rudder, and he talks about a spark. Now, I wonder whether any of you have seen a bit before. It's used for riding horses. This is a bit, otherwise known as a snaffle or a snaffle bit. And in that video, you can see just there that ring. Imagine if I was a horse. No rude comments, okay? Imagine if I was a horse. You would put that in your mouth like that and pull it that way, and the horse would go that way, and pull it the other way and pull it back, and the horse would stop. It's a very small thing compared to a horse, isn't it? But it controls this big beast, this strong horse, and you can see they're in control there because the reins are attached to these rings and they can control them. The bit is small, but it's powerful. That's the first example that James uses. The second example, he uses the example of a rudder. Okay, now I have here a real rudder. It's not a massive hockey stick, it's a rudder. Okay, now this goes on a ship or a boat, all right, and you use it to steer the boat. This is from a mirror dinghy if you're into sailing, and you're sitting in a boat like that, and that goes into water, and you kind of turn it, and the whole boat turns. And you've got a powerful wind, and it's pushing the boat through, or in this example in the video, a powerful motor is making the boat go forward. But the rudder, which is very small in comparison with the boat, I mean, you can see the size of that massive American warship. You've got this little rudder at the back, and it controls the whole boat. The captain can steer it where he wants, and you can actually see that boat is in the middle of doing a massive evasive maneuver just by the rudder. And the next example James gives us is a spark. He says the tongue is like a spark. It's small but powerful. Now, I have a spark here, or I have a firestone. Okay, and if you look carefully, you can see the spark. Now, wait a minute, get it around. Can you see the spark? It's quite small, isn't it? But that small spark can set a whole forest on fire like that. How small that is. And thousands of acres of woodland can be burned to the ground. And boys and girls, if you've ever seen the news recently, there have been quite a few fires, haven't there, in various parts of the world, Australia and California and stuff like that, starting from one small spark. And James is saying the tongue is like that. The spark is tiny compared to the forest, but it sets it all on fire. The tongue is a small part of the body, but it's so powerful. So he wants us to realize that. He's saying to us, your tongue is powerful. Realize that. The words you say can damage people greatly. They can make people sad. They can make people cry. Words that we hear, we can remember them for years and years and years. And for years and years and years, boys and girls, those words that we've heard from someone else can make us sad or unhappy. So James is warning us. There's a rhyme that I was taught when I was a little kid, and it went like this. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Now, if you've heard that rhyme, it's a lie. The rhyme should actually be, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can break my heart, because they can. They can cause as much damage, sometimes even more damage, than if someone chucks stones at you or hit you with a stick. Broken bones heal, don't they? But the effect words have on us can kind of make a heart broken that never heals. So that's the first warning, okay? We've got to be careful with our tongues. Let's move on. James gives this second warning, and he says the tongue is like a fire. In fact, in verse 6, he mentions the word fire 3 times. So let's think about fire, right? I've got a question for you to discuss with the person nearest to you. How is fire good and how is fire bad? All right, just chat amongst you. All right, okay. Sounds like you're having a good discussion. So fire can help us, does help us, doesn't it? So in the winter, in most houses in the UK, we keep warm by fire. Central heating burns gas, right? It's controlled fire. It heats the water, which goes through the radiators, and we're kept warm. So fire keeps us warm. Think about, how did you get here today? Probably in a car. There's fire in the engine of the car, isn't there? There's a spark plug that then makes a small explosion, which is fire, which is translated into energy. It's controlled fire. It's good. A jet plane has fire in its engines. Fire is used to make electricity. Coal-fired fire stations, gas-fired power stations, not fire stations, power stations. The sun is actually a big ball of fire in the sky, and we need it for life. So that's how fire can help us. But also fire can harm us, right? I'm sure you talked about how fire burns. Yeah, and what can it then leave on you for the rest of your life? Yes, a scar. If you're into Formula One, a famous Formula One driver called Niki Lauda has just died. And he was involved in a big crash on the Nürburgring in Germany in the 70s, I think. And his car burst into flames. And kind of the side of his face was sort of almost burnt off. He didn't have part of his ear. and that scar stayed with him his whole life. Fire can harm us, can't it? And James is saying the tongue is like a fire. The tongue can hurt one another like fire. It's capable of great evil. It's a strong warning, isn't it? So we must get this. And I think we must be a little bit scared of our tongues, a little bit, because they have this potential, like fire, to cause so much pain. So we must be slow to speak and careful what we say. And we must ask ourselves, is it true? Is it right? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Boys and girls, remember, our words are like toothpaste. Once they're out, they can't get back in. It's true though, isn't it? So we've got to think about that. Toothpaste isn't very harmful, but fire is. So let's realize that and think really carefully before we speak. As we thought, fire is good as well. So it's encouraging that our words can be used to build one another up. And that's what we should be aiming for. I want to tell you a story that I found about someone who was hurt by fiery words. This person is called Claire Colvin. So it goes like this. Pictures of me as a little kid are really cute. Curly blonde hair, a quick smile, and eyes always looking for the next adventure. I had the confidence that comes from knowing you are truly loved. I had a storybook childhood, and it showed, but I didn't stay that way. Around sixth grade, I became the kid everyone picked on. Maybe I didn't wear the right clothes. Maybe kids are just mean sometimes. For whatever reason, it started and it kept going. By high school, there was a group of four or five guys who told me I was stupid and ugly every single day. I believed them. It is amazing what you accept as truth when you hear it enough times. As my confidence faltered and my self-esteem withered away, I stopped talking in class, in groups, or in the hallways. I dreaded lunch hour. I never set foot inside the cafeteria, and the thought of class presentations literally made me sick. I stopped smiling altogether. They tell me I went a whole year and never smiled once. So boys and girls, were you listening to that story? This girl at school, some boys told her horrible words, and that caused her to stop smiling for a whole year. Isn't that so sad? And that's the power of the tongue. And that's why James is warning us about how we use it. Let's finish off by thinking about the third warning, where James says how the tongue is untamable. Alison mentioned her dog. I think she made a good point. We can tame dogs, can't we? But if there's a rabbit or something, they're off. Can you tame a tiger? James says you can tame lots of animals, but you can't tame the tongue. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles. Have you seen those birds where it's like a bird of prey show and he has a big glove? Have you seen that? And he's tamed the bird and he's got it to fly onto his glove and then fly around and come back. Birds, reptiles. I know you guys at school have had snakes come in, not just randomly, but a guy with snakes and tarantulas and stuff, and had them round your neck. So we've kind of tamed snakes, reptiles and stuff like that. Sea creatures and so on have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. So he's warning us that the tongue is out of control. We can't tame it, and therefore we need help. If we're going to say words to each other which help instead of harm, which build up instead of breaking down, which bless instead of bruising, then we're going to need a power bigger than ourselves, a help outside of ourselves, because we can't manage to control the tongue by ourselves. Taming the tongue is like trying to tame Indominus Rex. If you've ever watched Jurassic World, what was the big mistake they made in Jurassic World? That's right, and they thought they could contain it, didn't they? They thought, oh, we've got a big cage with high walls, but if you didn't hear Gregory, it ended up destroying the whole park. Don't make the same mistake with your tongue. Don't think, oh, it's very small, oh, I can control my tongue. James says, God says, via James, you can't. It's untamable. So we need to realize this. Only God's power can control our tongues. So let's ask for God's power to master the monster in our mouths. Let's cry out to Jesus to help us tame our terrible tongues. Let's ask the Holy Spirit and ask his power to fill us so that we can restrain this little thing in our mouths so that it doesn't do loads of damage, so that we end up being like Jesus, so that we speak powerful words of truth and of love, words that encourage each other, words that build each other up and strengthen each other, and words that give each other happiness. No man can tame the tongue, but thankfully, God can. And we have access to God's power because of the Holy Spirit. So we can go out of here worried, yes, about the power of our tongues, but confident that God is more powerful and he'll help us if we ask him. Thank you for listening.